so much instability, so much that we don't understand, that we don't know. For me, growing up, it was, a lot of you guys know, my mom died giving birth to me. And my dad remarried. Then my stepmom died in a car accident when I was 9. Then my dad got married again. Then my dad died of cancer when I was 12. And so I'm in junior high. My mom's dead. My stepmom's dead. My dad's dead. The only close relatives I had were my aunt and uncle, George and Sandra. And then when I was in high school, they got in a fight, and my Uncle George shot and killed my aunt, and then stuck the gun to his own head, killed himself. So I'm 16 years old, and this is life to me, going, man, what's next? Everything seems to be falling apart, and we get a little worried, we get a little scared. And this is what Christians do, you know, they try to serve God, but then things get a little rocky, and things get a little unstable, and so we go, okay, that was nuts. I don't want to live like that. Let me hold on. And this is your routine. This is what so many people do. They go, you know what? I'm not going to try anything crazy. I'm just going to sit here, and I'm just going to hold on. And this is what you look like. You just go. This is what people do. You know what? I'm just going to have my nice little family. We're just going to. You know, we're just going to keep to ourselves. We're going to live in a gated community. I'm going to homeschool my kids, make them wear helmets everywhere. I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to let them outside because sun has bad rays. I'm going to, you know, just on and on and on. And you just live your life in the safety of, I don't want to do anything crazy for God. I just want to, you know, go to church on Sundays and maybe give like 2%. And maybe serve, help the nursery, because I feel guilty. And then you do this your whole life, and then you go, your greatest prayer is like, God, you know what? I would love to die in my sleep and not even feel it, and then just go up to heaven. And so you want to die like this, just in your sleep, ooh, right in the middle of a dream, good dream, the dream, you're going to heaven, and you don't even feel it. And then suddenly you wake up, you stand before the judge, and you go, now, could you imagine watching the Olympics, you know, and some girl does that, just gets up there, starts straddling the thing, and then steps off and goes, what is the judge supposed to do on the card? You see, and to me, I go, man, that's the routine that so many Christians are headed for. That's the routine, the boring, I do nothing crazy because I don't want to fall. That's the routine that they're going to live, and then one day it's going to be a shock because they're going to step off that balance beam and realize they're standing before the judge. They're standing before the judge, and you think he's going to look at that routine and go, wow, well done. Well done. You lived the safest life possible. You didn't slip. You didn't fall. See, that's not the life that God's called us to. That's where the majority will head. But I don't want to go where the majority goes.
You know, and that's my idea, too, of following after Christ is to live your life like it's an adventure. Like it's exciting, like it's something that is not safe, as you saw Francis Chan there so vividly describing in that video. You know, for the last several weeks, we've been talking about what it really means to experience God in our lives. You know, and we've looked at these seven truths from Scripture, and we've talked through them very specifically. And today, we're going to look at that last one. Which is we obey. But you know, to get there, you notice those first four that we've taught on as we've studied this idea of really experiencing God in our life and it being something that is an adventure, not just something where we're sitting and being a spectator, is that, you know, God does those first four things. You know, we talked about God, how God works in our life, and that God, in that working, He begins pursuing us. In that, and then he invites us to be a part of what he's doing. But then he actually speaks to us. And we understand and we hear. And so God does His part in bringing us into what He's doing in His world. But then the last three, as we've looked at in the last several weeks, is that we have to trust Him. In that, once we hear Him, once we understand what God said in our life, you know, we have to trust that, because He doesn't put everything out for us. He doesn't. We don't have a picture of what everything's going to look like. There's an element of faith that comes out there as we begin trusting Him. And then we have to adjust our lives. You know, we may have to make some changes. We talked about 3 weeks ago. You know, that everything can't stay the same if we're going to follow after what God wants us to do in our life. And then it comes down to that last truth that we're going to look at today. In just a few minutes, we're going to hit it hard. We're going to look at several scriptures that help us understand what it means to truly obey God and what that looks like. Because, see, that's where it finally comes down to. After we've encountered God and God gives us an assignment, He gives us a task, we have to obey. Let's look at John 14. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 14. We're going to look at three verses from John 14 to help us understand about obedience. John 14:23. Says, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." We see in that verse, it says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." Now, the only way we can keep God's word is to know it. We have to know what it says, which means spending time in His word. And you see here, Jesus very clearly speaks to us that obedience and love go together. Obedience proves our love for Him. Now, we would all, if I had started off this morning and just said, how many of you love Jesus? You know, we'd have got a whole room full of hands. But what Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my word. And so understanding what that word is becomes very important. That's why it's important for us to be in the word, to know the word, to memorize the word, to meditate on the word, so that we can prove our love for Christ by doing or obeying what the word says. John 14:15, just a few verses before that, says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Again, a very clear picture. Same chapter, same talk that Jesus is talking to those who are listening to Him there. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Those people who He was talking to knew what those commandments were. This was a reminder. This is a statement of, if you love me, you'll do what you know to do. You know, one thing we're going to find as we talk this morning is that, you know, everything God's Word says to us, we may not understand what that is. We may not know. We may not have knowledge of that. You know, hopefully each and every day we're discovering new things that God's teaching us, that He's showing us. And as we discover those things, we're to obey. We're to do what He says. And then the last verse from John 14, from Jesus' words, He says, "He who does not love me does not keep my word." You know, and that's a very powerful statement. You know, for Jesus to look at us and to say, if you don't keep my word, you're proving you don't love me. And so this whole idea of obedience comes back to our love for Jesus Christ. And as he said in verse 23, it also has to do with our relationship. You see those three things that He talks about. If you love me, you will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. There's relationship there in that verse. The Father, the Son, us, all having relationship together, having fellowship together. So it becomes very important for us to do that. Over in James chapter 2, verse 20 through 22, James writes this. He says, "But Are you willing to recognize you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless, which means not alive? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. As a result of the works, faith was perfected or completed. See, again, we see that picture that faith without obedience is really not faith at all. You know, when we walk and we say, well, I trust God, I have faith in God. Well, what proves that is that we act on that. You know, he uses the example there, James does, of Abraham. You know, we know that story that Abraham was told, was commanded to take his son and to sacrifice his son after waiting so many years to get that son. The instruction was sacrifice him. Give him back to me. So Abraham does that. He began taking those steps toward accomplishing exactly what God told him to do. Did he know what was going to happen? No. Did he totally trust God in taking those steps as he took Isaac to the mountain? Absolutely. And see, and that's what it looks like. There's always going to be some action with something God tells us to do. We can't just sit and think about it. Oh, that's a nice thing. You know, this morning, you may be prompted within your spirit to do something that God very specifically says, this is what you need to do. You need to obey. And you can get up from this time together this morning, this gathering, and walk out the door and go, you know, that was, I encountered God this morning. He spoke to me. He invited me to be a part of what he's doing. He gave me an assignment. See, obedience comes when we actually complete that we go do it. And it can be a lot of different things. Now, we probably have 150, 200 people here this morning. And it could be that many different things that God speaks into your heart this morning. Or at any time when you're opening the Word in your quiet time in the morning. Or you're driving in your car and God puts something on your heart. But it's the action that allows that to happen. And it proves, as we saw earlier from Jesus' own words, it proves our love to Him when we obey with that. And it may be something as simple as writing somebody a note, making a phone call, encouraging them. Or it may be something as big as we heard Jim talk about, going internationally on a mission trip. Who knows? God uses us in lots of different ways. Obedience becomes a moment of truth for us. You can see there on the screen. What you do will, number one, reveal what you believe about God. See, that immediately tells, when God puts something on our heart, that next step of action, what we do next reveals what we really believe about God. Number two, it will determine whether you will experience His mighty work in and through you. See, God is God. He can accomplish whatever He wants to accomplish all by Himself. But most often, He chooses to do it through us. In some way, somehow, He chooses to use us. And so we miss that experience of Him working through us. And number three says that it will determine whether you will come to know Him more intimately. You know, and that's one thing that I've found in my own life. Every time I step out and do something that may be totally new to me, it may be that newest opportunity to trust Him or to obey Him. Every time I do that, I get a little closer to Him. I get to know Him a little more. My trust grows as I obey. And see, those three things all will happen. Turn over to Deuteronomy. I told you we were going to jump around a lot and look at a lot of different scripture. Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. It says, now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 8 goes along with verse 1 there. It says, the Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns, and you, and in all you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You see there an example of God speaking very clearly there that if we diligently obey the Lord, be careful to do all his commandments, there's going to be blessing from that. You know, is that why we should do it? Just to get that blessing? No. It's what we've already talked about. It's to grow that intimacy, to grow that trust in God, to prove our love to him. But there's going to be blessing in that when we do that. It's going to increase that relationship. And the blessing may not be something that we even expect. But God's going to show himself to be real and true, trustworthy, as we obey him and what he commands us to do. Look over the same chapter, verse 15. It says, but it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. In verse 20, same chapter. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, rebuke, and all you undertake to do, until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. You know, last week, Jason did an outstanding job talking about spiritual warfare in our life. And that the enemy in our life, that spiritual enemy in our life, wants to destroy us. He wants to kill us. Ultimately, death is his goal, his desire in our lives. And that's exactly what we see a picture of here. He's attacking our disobedience. Because anytime we disobey, we're separating ourselves further from God. Obedience means joy and uninterrupted fellowship with God. See, when we follow God in our obedience, we experience the joy of relationship with him. We get to understand that. We get to feel that. We get to know that. And that relationship and that fellowship only grows when we accomplish that. We all want to have that intimacy with God, that kind of intimacy that we experience joy. No matter what our circumstances are, we still experience that joy and that fellowship, because we all have negative circumstances. Think back to the video. Francis Chan. All those things he was dealing with. You know, if anybody had a reason just to say, heck with this, as a young boy, he did. But see, he didn't do that. He continued to follow after God. You know, the example he gave us there of the balance beam, it was funny. But for so many of us, it's real. You know, we're afraid to take that next step of obedience. You know, for some of you, it may just be to take that step of baptism. That's a step of obedience in our life. You come to know Christ. You've given your life to Christ. And the next step of obedience is to say, you know, I want to follow after the model of Christ and identify myself by this model of what he did for me. And you get baptized. You know, I've heard people just, they get scared. Well, I don't want people looking at me. You know? I'm afraid of water. Whatever. You know, the reason is, they're not, and that's just a simple step of obedience. But yet we hug to the balance beam. I can't do that. Or maybe, you know, God's put on your heart that, you know, you need to plug in and work in one of the ministries here in the church. I've never done that before. That'd be scary working with two-year-olds. Yeah, it is scary. Go back and work with the two-year-olds. But if that's what God puts on your heart, if that's what He gives you the opportunity to do, then trust Him with that. Let go of the beam. Get out there and walk a little bit. See what happens. You know, in the reality, we've all watched that event on the Olympics. And if a girl gets up there and she does all those double kazooly things on top of the beam and falls off, what does she do? She gets right back up on there and completes her assignment. Completes her routine. See, and that's exactly what should happen in our life. You may make a mistake, but get back up on the beam. Obey what you already know to be God's will in your life. You know, for each one of us who are believers, there are some things that without a doubt we already know we're supposed to be doing. We don't have to think about them. They're not something that God has just revealed to us, but we know. Being here together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, we should be here celebrating what God's done in our lives. We should be spending time in the Word on a daily basis. We should be sharing our faith with others. You know, those are some things that we don't have to think about. We know that. So what we know to do, do. You know, Tommy Nelson, who's a pastor at Denton Bible Church, who's been a mentor in my life, he said it this way. He said, obey God in what you know, and then trust Him in what you don't. There's a picture of Abraham that we referred to earlier. You know, do the things you know to do. Obey those. And the things that I don't know what to do next, trust Him with those as you take steps forward. Just like on the balance beam. You know what maybe the ultimate routine is, but take that next step. That's going to move you a little closer to accomplishing what He has in your life. You know, Jonah in the Old Testament, I think, is a great example of what we're talking about today with obedience. Jonah chapter 1 and 2, we're not going to read all those chapters. But Jonah chapter 1, you see there on the screen, says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. There's Jonah's command. There's his instruction. Arise, go to Nineveh. Very clear. We understand that. Jonah understood that. Exactly what God had commanded him to do. But look at verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. See, at that moment that we know what God wants us to do, at that moment we have a choice. We're either going to go to Nineveh, or as Jonah, we're going to turn around and go exactly the opposite direction, which is disobedience. See, every time, that's where we are at that point. You know, we've been talking about for weeks all those things. God's working in our life. He's pursuing us. He's inviting us. He's speaking to us. We get that instruction, go to Nineveh. We hear Him. You know, and to complete that whole experience that we've been talking about, it takes obedience. It's exciting to hear from God. But I'm going to put before you today, it's even more exciting to obey Him, to trust Him in what He's given us to do. You know, there's an old hymn called Trust and Obey. Some of you may have grown up with that hymn. Somewhere here I've got it. It says, trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, that's such a powerful set of words that were put to music so many years ago about what our lives should look like. You know, we see the picture of Jonah saying, no, I don't want that kind of life. I'm afraid. I don't even like the people at Nineveh. Is really why he didn't want to see them come to a relationship with God. And so he heads a different direction in disobedience. And we're not going to take all the time to talk about his fishing experience today. But we know the consequences to his disobedience. They were much like the consequences we talked about in Deuteronomy. It wasn't very pleasant. And when that fish expelled him onto the shore, the command hadn't changed. Look at chapter 3. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. So what we see the commandment, the instruction to Jonah had not changed a bit. What God was planning to use Jonah to do, even in his disobedience, when he got finished with all that and all the consequences of that, the instructions were still the same. Arise and go to Nineveh. The only difference we see in chapter 3 is now he obeys. And if you read the rest of the book, you see that he preaches a sermon, just like God told him to later on. It's about 2 sentences long. Because here's the deal. When God gives you something to do, and you're obedient, He's going to accomplish what He purposed to do. Because see, Jonah's stinking attitude about sharing with the people at Nineveh never changed. He still had a bad attitude. But he obeyed. And God accomplished in the people at Nineveh exactly what God purposed to do. So, those of you who have a bad attitude about working with those teenagers, when you know God has told you to do that, or maybe starting a new ministry that God's put on your heart to do, or maybe leading a life group, and you know God's speaking to you about that, you're going, well, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. It's too much time. See, even with the wrong attitude, God is going to bless your obedience. And through that, we see from Scripture, your relationship with Him is going to grow. You know, in Luke chapter 10, I'm not even going to go there, but that whole first part of that chapter, the first 24 verses, we see Jesus calling out 70 people to go out and prepare the way for Him. He splits them into pairs and they go do that. And what you see in there is this exact picture in the New Testament. That God says, go do this. Go prepare the way for Me. And they did that. Two by two, they went. They accomplished what Jesus asked them to do. And then God, through Jesus, accomplished what He intended to do because of their willingness to go. God will never give you an assignment that He will not enable you to complete. So those of you right now who are sensing what something, maybe God's been hammering you for weeks, months, about something you need to do. You need to obey Him in so that you can experience Him in your life. You're going, I just can't do that. I can't accomplish that. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't speak well enough. I don't have enough knowledge. Whatever your excuses are. God will never give you an assignment that He will not enable you to complete. Trust Him with that. Obey Him. Experience what He has for you. Let me pray, and then we're going to transition into a time of Lord's Supper that Mike's going to lead us through. God, we do come before You right now and just say thank You for using us, for choosing us to accomplish Your purposes in this world. You don't have to do that. But God, You choose to do that in our lives. You choose to allow us to be a part. And guys, we've been talking for the last 2 months about what it really means to experience You, to walk with You in accomplishing Your tasks. God, help us to complete that in each of our lives with obedience and to do what You tell us to do. And in that, we prove our love for You. And it's Your name we pray. Amen.